Y'all this morning on this rainy Sunday morning. I do want to talk about peace today. You know, I got thinking about how where peace comes from, number one, how we can maintain peace through everything. As I said earlier, we see people that have all the things in life they want, all the money, possessions, but have no peace. Then we see those who have hardly nothing, who can barely make ends meet, but are full of peace. Peace is not gauged on the things the world gives us. And we've been programmed that way. We've been trained that way. For young women, they're trained that to have a perfect figure and be a perfect size. And if they're not that size, then they're not as good. Don't have the right job. I always say men. One of the first questions, let's see if y'all hit this, men. If you meet a guy for the first time, not in a relationship I'm talking about just yet. You meet a guy. You're at a cookout or something, you know, and you're talking to somebody. Hey, I'm Kevin. Hey, I'm James. What's one of the first questions a guy asks another guy? What do you do? What do you do for a living? Where do you work? And all you know what we're doing? We're measuring up. Oh, you're a truck driver, huh, Roger? Well, that's a decent living. Oh, Don, you're an IT guy, white collar worker. Okay. You get paid though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. We begin to immediately measure people's statuses by what they do. So right there, we're beginning to say, okay, you're better than that or you're not as good as that. And we strive our whole lives thinking if I can get the right job, the right house, the right man, the right woman, have the perfect children. Excuse me. And, you know, we have all those things in place. We think that that's success. And we think we can have peace. But we got to realize peace cannot be given by anything or anybody except the Lord Jesus. Because everything else passes away. I got thinking about, I used a lot, lemonade. Most of us like lemonade, most of us. I know there's a few of you oddballs that don't. But most of us like a cold glass of lemonade. And lemonade tastes very good if you like it. Lemonade tastes good. It's cold. It's refreshing. We like it. But after you drink a glass of lemonade, you're still thirsty. So you drink another glass, but you're still thirsty. No matter how much lemonade you drink to try to quench your thirst, you find yourself still thirsting for more. The world's like that. It gives us lemonade. It tastes good. It may feel good. It may bring some temporary pleasure. But we're still empty, and we're still void, and we're still barren. And we're still seeking something better, something deeper, or something greater than what we have partaken in. And some of us learn that the very hard way. We spend many years trying to find peace in things and people and find out that it's only in Christ. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 we're going to start with this morning. And I want to establish where peace comes from. That's the whole message, where peace comes from. And you know what's happening right now in our nation is because there's a lack of peace inside humanity. We have a president going in this inauguration, this election, with the lowest approval rating of any president in history. We have never seen anything like this before on the first day of a new president, where there are marches and there are we have never seen anything like this. And the reason people are so in unrest, it's not because, church, I don't care what anybody says, it's not because it's Donald Trump, it's not because it's Hillary Clinton, it's not because it's a Republican or a Democrat, it's because people are looking for something just to be mad about, because there's no peace inside of them, and they just are looking for a fight. It's like Americans are got a chip on their shoulder. Come on, knock it off. I dare you. And it blows my mind that we're at this point in our nation. What does our Pledge of Allegiance say? Under God, indivisible. That's what everybody focuses on, under God, which is the main thing. But what does indivisible mean? It means we're together. Good, bad, indifferent, we are together. And we are all in this nation, have all the same rights, all the same benefits as any other American. We are one nation, under God, indivisible. But people don't have peace. And I'm going to tell you something else people are doing. They're giving a lot of undue credit to Mr. President Donald Trump, don't you think? They're putting a lot of power in his hands to think he can control their world that way. I mean, think about that. That he is so powerful and so big and has so much influence, he's going to change my whole world. Think about it from that aspect. Who's our trust in? I trust a sovereign God whose hand is on everything. A mouse can't squeak unless God tells it to. A mountain can't move or even stand still unless God tells it to. Nothing can change unless God allows it to change. So what I'm saying is this. Our peace should not be shaken by an election. Our peace should not be shaken by high gas prices. Our peace should not be shaken by world affairs. Our peace should be secure and grounded and founded on the very one and the only one that can give it. And that is the Lord. He gives peace. You think I'm making this up? Let's read some scripture. Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isaiah prophesied 600 years before this happened, there would be a God that would bring peace to man. Didn't necessarily say peace to the world. Notice this. It brings peace to us. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how many Miss Americas get up there. I want peace for the world. There's never going to be peace on the world until Christ returns and establishes that final peace. So church, we're just smoking something if we think, I just want peace, peace, man, peace, peace. There's somebody that's got something wrong with everything. We can't find peace in local churches because people are too busy inspecting what's wrong with the church than what's right with it. I mean, everybody looking for something to fight about. And Isaiah says there's going to be a God that's going to come to the earth, and he is going to put the government on. You know what he was saying? He is going to be in charge of all authority and all power. And he will be called the Prince of Peace because he brings that peace to us. We can have peace in bad times. We can have peace in good times. And we don't need to let what's happening in our lives determine whether we walk in peace or not. If we have the Lord, if we are his child, we should walk in continual peace, not hit and miss peace, not peace based on what the news person says, not peace on who's the president, not peace on what movement's happening, not peace on this and this. None of us are ever going to always get along. That's all there is to it. It's never been that way. It never will be. You know why? Because sin is in the earth. And sin is always reigning and ruling in humanity. And that sin comes out, that sin comes forth, and it causes division. So what's our job as Christians? The Bible says, if at all possible, live at peace with all men. The Bible says we are to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see the kingdom of God. You say, well, I can't project that peace because they're making me mad. Don't let them make you mad. Don't, as the old trash bag commercial, don't get mad, get glad. Right? Don't get mad. Say, you know what? They just don't have the peace of the Lord they need for their lives. Because if they ever get that peace, if they ever get the peace of God to know who they are in the Lord, they'll be satisfied. I don't agree with a lot of things happening in the world. Of course I don't. I don't agree with, there's every president, there have been things I disagree with of our government on both sides of the aisle. I've never agreed with, I've always disagreed with different people. But I've got peace that God's in charge. God's the king. So I think it's funny that the world is giving this one man so much power to think he can completely change all of their agendas. God's in control. Go to the next verse. Isaiah 54:10. He's also prophesying here. For the mountains shall depart, the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be
removed.
I'm not going to let the covenant. You know what a covenant is? It's a contract. It's a binding contract. It means God is holding his end of the bargain up. I'm going to establish a covenant of peace with a covenant people, and that peace will not be removed because that peace is going to live inside of us. How can we live in this world and have peace with everything around us? We can't focus on what's around us. We focus on who's in us. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my high tower. In him will I trust. The Lord goes before me. The Lord surrounds me. Greater is he that's in me than that which is in the world. I am blessed. I am the head, I'm not the tail. I'm above, I'm not beneath, because I am the redeemed of the Lord. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And that gives us peace today, tomorrow, 4 years from now. Every generation can have this peace because Christ died for every generation. Don't give so much credence, thank you. I knew I wasn't right. I had the wrong vowel. Credence to what's happening around us. There's always going to be war. There's always going to be prejudice. There's always going to be bigotry. There's always going to be hate. In the very beginning, two twin brothers were born, Cain and Abel. And this brother Cain was so full of hate, he killed his brother. Killed him. Killed his brother. And God says, I hear the blood crying out of the land, so to speak. Paraphrase. What have you, where's your brother? Where's your brother, Cain? He got all smart with God. Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know, God. Don't you know where he's at? I don't know where he's at. God, of course, knew where he's at. He rose up his own brother and slew him. Hate's been in the world since the very beginning, and it's not going to go away because we have a certain president elected. When Obama got elected 8 years ago, did he get rid of hate in the land? Prejudice? Division? No. Did George Bush do it before him? No. Did Ronald Reagan do it before him? No. No one can eradicate hate because hate's a spiritual condition. You can't kill hate with a Uzi. You can't kill hate because you march and say, let's not hate no more. None of that's going to fix it. What fixes when a nation and a people surrender themselves? As 1 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, when we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and we turn away from our sins and we call upon the name of the Lord, then he will heal our land. Not talking about America, talking about our land, each of us. Each of us. Somebody put on Facebook the other day, said, it's the day that Donald Trump got elected, and I'm assuming he didn't vote for Donald Trump by his response. He said, well, today we have entered hell. So I just put a little comment on there. I says, one man, I said, the people make the nation, not one man. See, what's the problem with this individual saying that? He's done checked out. You know what he's saying? I'm not going to do nothing to make anything better. We're giving too much power to mankind instead of God. The White House isn't near as powerful as God's house. And the Oval Office isn't near as powerful as the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. So, church, let's have peace. But that peace has to come from him. Next scripture. This is Psalms 29:11. The Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. The Lord does that. I want to establish this morning where peace comes from. Peace doesn't come because you got that new job. Praise God, we need money. And I agree, for the person that says money don't make you happy, well, they're half right and half wrong. It don't give you the true and eternal joy. It don't get you to heaven. But it sure makes you happy. Because when you broke, that ain't no fun. So, it's God that gives us joy. Our source of joy and peace does not come from a job or from a relationship or from any event. Our peace, and what I mean by peace, peace is something that comes inside of us that settles our mind, it settles our thoughts, our spirit is settled. See, we're in a troubled world now. The spirits are troubled. They're so troubled. But when we have peace to know, God, I belong to you. And people say, you know, that's just too vague. I mean, that's just too cliche, too religious. I belong to God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you got real issues. But I got a real God. Do you understand that? I got a real God. Yeah, I've got real issues, but I got a real God. And my God is bigger than my issues. My God is bigger than my mountains. My God is bigger than any giant that stands there. My God is bigger. And so I declare my God as being who he is. I magnify my God and say, Lord, under you I put my trust. Under you I put my faith. And I will honor and I will do my part as a Christian. The last 8 years I did not put one post, and y'all can't find it. It's not on there. And I did not delete my emails. I put it on there. You never saw me put one negative comment on Facebook about President Barack Obama. A lot of people did. You did not see me bash anything about that man whatsoever. Church, we have to realize that in this nation, this is how it works. And it's the greatest transition of power and peace of any other country that does this. And though we may not like it, like today's game, some of y'all are going to be mad. If the Steelers lose tonight, Brenda Cook will call out of work tomorrow. She will not go to work, I guarantee. I'll call out. Huh? Oh, that's right, you didn't go. And you'll blame the ref for throwing the wrong flag, and you'll say they cheated, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The point is, it is what it is, and you won't be able to change it. The way we move forward is to honor God. And the way we honor God is to honor our leadership, whoever they are. This is what God tells us to do. So I'm just not going to place so much faith in one man that he can control my whole destiny. God controls my destiny. God orders my steps. God ordains me, God appoints me, and God positions me. We've been reading about Daniel on Wednesday nights during a Daniel series, and we're talking about, you know, how God repositioned Daniel from Jerusalem, his homeland, to a prisoner of war in Babylon, Iraq, and how that seems so unfair. Why would God allow his covenant seed to be captured and put into a foreign paganistic nation? It was for a purpose and a reason. Daniel was there for a reason. We've already read two or three stories of what happened by him being there. If he hadn't have been there, it wouldn't have happened. Sometimes God repositions us. We don't like it. It don't seem fair, but it's for a greater purpose and a greater glory. And we honor what God does and not what man does. That's where peace comes from. Next scripture. New Testament. This is Jesus himself talking. You don't know that unless you got your Bible, because these words aren't in red, but this is Jesus talking. John 14:27. Look what he says. He's talking to his disciples about leaving. He's going to be, you know, leaving the earth. He's going to be dying and then ascending into heaven. But he says, peace I leave with you. We want to process this verse very slowly this morning. Peace I leave it with you. Only someone who has the authority and the ownership can give you something. Legally, I mean. I know they're stolen goods that are given away. I'm talking about legally. Only the person that has the authority and the ownership can give you something. Jesus had the ownership and the authority to leave behind peace for us. Peace. See, the Bible tells us in the future of what is to come. John told us from the Isle of Patmos, I see a new heaven and a new earth coming out of Jerusalem. He goes on to say, there will be no more sorrow and no more tears. And there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels singing glory, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God. You know what John was seeing? Our future. And our future is not for us to demise into a moral national collapse. Our future is that we have a kingdom that God has already set up. And what Peter said, or what Jesus told Peter when he says, who am I? You are Christ, the Son of God. Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. Upon this rock will I build my church. The revelation of who I am, this church will be built. This kingdom, this, talk about a movement. I mean, we want to talk about a woman's movement or a immigrant movement or a homosexual movement. Let's talk about the real movement. Jesus said, this movement, this rock, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell can't stop what I'm about to do, and what I'm going to do will come to pass. There's no votes, there's no electorals that will stop what I'm going to do. That rock was the revelation of who he was. Jesus, Son of God. Jesus, incarnate flesh. Jesus, God touching the earth to redeem and change and for the first time bring peace to humanity. We don't always have that peace every day because life happens and life sometimes just stinks. Don't it, Carol? Just stinks sometimes. I mean, life sometimes is discouraging and depressing. But when we look inside at who we serve and who died for us and we look into our future of what awaits us, oh my Lord, what awaits us is the gates of heaven welcoming us home, saying, well done, my faithful servant. Enter now the kingdom of God. That's what's waiting on us. That gives us peace to face whatever we're facing. It gives us peace. Don't let what's around you rob what God's given you. He says, I leave it with you. Then he says, my peace, I give it to you. I'm going to give you peace. Peace to know, disciples, it's all right. I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you alone. And I've got a plan. See, I'm so thankful God's got a plan. Everybody's talking about every president elects, you know, that here's their plan. Here's their agenda. First 100 days, first this, first. I'm just glad I know God's plan has already been established and it will be fulfilled. There's no question about it. It will be fulfilled. For those that go by the way of the grave, they walk into that fulfillment. For those that will be alive and remain, we'll walk in that fulfillment. We will walk in the fulfillment of God's plan. He's already got it ordered. It's already set in heaven. The Bible tells us that it's already set in heaven. It's done. It's finished. And nothing can change it. If we would put the energy, I'm talking about we as people, humanity, would put the energy into trying to be peacemakers as they was troublemakers, we would have a different result. This gas station right here got broken into, the Citco here last Wednesday. Somebody knocked out a whole pane of glass. Went in, stole over $5,000 worth of cigarettes and all kinds. Right here, this little Citco. That makes me so mad. As a personal note, I don't like thieves. For someone to take something of someone else's that's not theirs, that burns me up. Oh, that burns me up. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, breaking into a store, stealing all these cigarettes, stealing all this merchandise, you know, if they would put that much effort and energy and skill, their ninja skills, put into something more purposeful, like Marines, they might accomplish something in life. We have people that automatically have said, I'm not really part of this movement, what's going on with Donald Trump or with the president. I'm checked out. I'm gonna protest it day after day, year, blah, 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 blah. Let's concentrate on what God said and let's be peacemakers. Peacemakers. We get nothing accomplished when we are divided. The Bible says a house divided cannot stand. And boy, that's true. If you ever raise kids that aren't very good, you know that. The house can't stand as long as that kid's there. Can't stand, right? Because it's divided. You've got one set of things and one set of things and they collide and it doesn't work. It just can't work. That's what happened in a civil war. We had two different ideologies, didn't we? And our nation was almost destroyed because of two ideologies that collided. And all there was hate. I mean, if you were a Yankee, you were hated just for being. And I know I make jokes, but y'all know I love you Yankees. Thank God for you Yankees. Y'all are awesome. Y'all are the good Yankees, and we appreciate you. But man, there was a day when, you know, they would say, that old Yank, that old you-know-what Yank, that rebel. It's amazing. The rebels are the ignorant, dumb, southern, hillbilly, don't have no education people, right? And the Yankees were the astute, educated, tolerant, liberated people. It's amazing how those two ideologies clashed. But I'm going to tell you something about you Yankees back there. Us Southerners are pretty smart. We just don't always show off our cards. Peace I give to you. And look what it says. Not as the world giveth it. What is he talking about? He's trying to make a stark contrast. The peace I'm talking about is not the peace that comes from living in this world and the things that come with it. You know, we all want good health, and we want to pay our bills. We want a nice home and a nice car, and we want to have friends, and we want to live life to the fullest. But those things don't bring the real peace that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about the peace I'm going to give you, the world can't give you, because the world can't provide the sacrifice needed to bring this peace. Jesus had to die to bring about this peace. He had to sacrifice himself to bring about this peace. He was saying, nobody, no one can do what I can do. It just won't work. But when I go to the cross, and when I give my life, and when I resurrect the third day, when I send back the Father, I will have established the kingdom, and you now can have peace to know your sins are no longer before you or against you or condemning you. But there has been a way of reckoning, a way of restoration, a way of restoring what the devil has took from you all of these years. You can have peace to know you now can be a child of God based on what I've done, and not on you always trying to do it yourself. Peace. There are so many Christians aren't living in peace because they don't even know their own covenant of what Jesus did for them. And they're striving and they're working. They're always struggling with, am I saved? Am I not? Do I go to heaven? Do I not? Hope I make it. And I might not. I got to keep working. Got to keep striving. Got to keep doing. And they live their whole lives frustrated with no peace. No peace. And then we have a generation looking for peace spiritually. That's why we have all of this, these different things happening with that's our young generation. That's, you know, they say they're not religious, they're spiritual. And what that really means is they're fighting their own way, really their own way. Instead of saying, you know what, here's the word of God, this is what you said, Jesus, and I'm going to place my faith in you. I'm going to trust you as being the only one unto salvation. I'm going to trust you that you're the only one who can provide me peace. But there's so many mixed messages and so many confusing things out there, they're hearing all the time. Peace, Jesus left. Peace, he gave. Not as the world, I give it to you. And he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be, Brandon, let it be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled, and don't let it be afraid. Peace. Twilight Zone episode. I'm a Twilight Zone nerd, okay? And there was an episode where Mr. Death was to come get this woman from downstairs. She was living in this little city basement apartment or whatever. And everybody knocked on the door. She was scared it was Death coming. She was scared. And then she, you know, she let him in, or didn't let him in or whatever. Finally, you know, she let the one in, and it was Mr. Death. But it wasn't what she thought. It wasn't what she expected. There was no fear. She welcomed him with open arms, thinking she was safe, but yet it was Death coming to get her. But yet she had peace in that moment. Sometimes the giant makes himself so big to us, he makes us so afraid that all we see is the fear. As Shirley put on our sign, let your faith be bigger than your fear. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. The only way our faith can be bigger than our fear is if we know who we believe in. And if we believe in Donald Trump, then your fear is going to be greater than your faith. Simple. If you believe in the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies, you believe in Jehovah God, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Rose of Sharon, the Everlasting Father, you believe in him, your faith's bigger than your fears. Because God's got this. And he always has. Next scripture. This is Jesus also speaking in John 16:33. This is his words. These things I have spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In me. Not in the world. In me. We saw the election when it ended, when Hillary lost, and we've seen all over the news, the media, of all the people weeping and crying, and they went to colleges and they had to give grief counseling, and they gave them crayons to color in their books. And church, I'm just sitting there saying, oh, what side you're on? That's just ignorant. Okay, what side you're on? That's ignorant. My Lord, it is what it is. Brent, if the Steelers lose, you're going to need grief counseling. At least she's honest. See, peace, Karina, must come like this. If they lose, it was the will of God. That's where peace has to come from. But I've seen all this, and I'm like, what kind of nation have we become that the process of election, whether you like it or if you don't like it, I'll blow up and be a big baby about it. I mean, church, there have been many. Like I said, the first president I voted for, the very first one I voted for, I was 19 or 20. See, I was, who's the first one I voted for? I think it was George, the older George Bush was my first president. Kind of tells you my age, where I'm at. That was my first president I voted for. Now, he won that year. There have been other presidents I voted for that haven't won since then. Others that have won that I didn't agree with. But I didn't need a coloring book or a crayon or a Kleenex. I didn't miss no work. I didn't cuss nobody out. And I didn't take a sign in the street saying I don't agree with this. I mean, it is what we do. And all I'm saying is this, the peace that this world and humanity needs is the peace to know. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, think about this. Donald Trump's been so polarized, it's almost like he's become an idol. That millions of people are so mad that he's I almost find it humorous that they're allowing one man to disrupt their lives to this extent. Think about that. One man's disrupting their lives to this extent that they're marching. And nothing wrong. I mean, we can protest. That's what America does. The flag gives us the liberty to protest, not to be violence and loot and break stuff. But we do have that right under the American flag. Don fought for it. John O'Connell fought for it. My dad and Gail and Roger fought for that right. Fought for it. And you can protest all you want, and that is fine. But if we ever get the peace of God, you know what will happen? We'll let God handle it. And we'll trust God. God, you handle it. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. And I'm going to trust you. You know, through all the different scares, whether it was George Bush or President Obama or Bill Clinton or whoever it was, through all the scares of the years, or when they get in, it's going to happen, they get in, I'm going to tell you something about my life. There is no presidential candidates ever disrupted my personal world. I've got a paycheck every time I've worked. I've got a family. I've got a home. I drive a car. I've always had gas money. God has always provided for me. Always. I go on living my life, trusting the Lord. I am a Christian, and I am your child, and I'm under your covering. I'm under your covenant. And you're going to take care of me. No matter who's in charge, God, you're above them. You're above Putin and Russia, and you're above the Prime Minister of Israel, and you're above even the great Donald. Yes, Lord, you are above him. So let's have peace in the Lord. Pray for our nation. Pray for each other, and don't get caught up in the firestorm. And I'm going to tell you this. We need to be very careful of scarring and saying words that will spew poison to those around us. It creates more division. You know how people are drawn to the Christ? It's not by hate. It's by love. They're drawn to the cross by love. I mean, church, I'm a firm believer of this. The Bible speaks of hell. Of course it does. And the Bible speaks of those, of the place of hell and you know, gnashing of teeth. But if that is the only message anyone ever heard, and it scared them into the arms of God. Nobody wants to be scared. You know, you want your kids to respect you, not be afraid of you. And sometimes a parent, it's both. But you don't want them to be afraid of you. You want them to respect you. You want them to do things right because they love you, not because they're scared you're going to beat them to half inch of their life. You want them to love you because they respect you. Same way, spiritually. We love God, we honor God, we trust God, and then for those around us, let's show them what Christians do. And let me tell you this, it might come as a surprise to you. I really believe this, though. You can write it down. It's a revelation God gave me years ago. There's going to be Republicans and Democrats in heaven together worshiping the same God on the same aisle, not across the aisle. That's going to happen. It's amazing how we measure. I mean, people say, well, they can't be saved. They're this. They can't be saved. They believe in that.
let's not do so much of that and just show the love, stand for our rights, absolutely stand for what we believe in. I'm not talking about compromising what we believe in, but not doing with hate. We're to love, the Bible says, love one another. For Christ first loved us. And aren't you glad that when Jesus died, he didn't look ahead and see all of Stacy's mistakes and say, you know what? I'm going to just kick her out before I die here because, nah, she's going to do stuff, nah. He saw Carol, she's a little shady. And I'm going to not do that either. Not Destiny, I'll die for her. She's sweet and perfect and humble. God didn't do that to any of us. And guess what? After we've been born again, after we've been saved, after we've given our heart to Jesus, after we wept at the altar with our tears and gave our hearts to the Lord and we said, we'll follow you all of our days, how many times have we fallen off the wagon even then? But yet, he called our name. The thing that amazed me about my Lord is he called my name knowing what I would do afterwards. Think about that. God knows everything. We believe that. God's all eternal. He knows everything, every future, past, present. He knows it all. When he called my name, Jamie Lewis, I was Jamie then. When he called me Jamie Lewis when I was a little boy, he knew what Jamie Lewis would do when he got older. He knew things he would say that wasn't right, things he would look at that wasn't right, things he would do that wasn't right. But yet he called my name. Why did he call my name? Because I was his, and I belonged to him through good and through bad, through my victorious religious victories and through my sinful defeats. God loved me, and I belong to him. And that gives me peace. Peace that my past is forgiven, my present is secure, and my future is certain because of Christ. The world can't give that kind. He says, you'll have tribulation. We know that. We've got tribulation in the world. But be of good cheer. How can we be happy in a world of tribulation? Because I've overcome the world. In other words, what the world says you have to endure, no, you don't. What the world says the penalty has to be, no, it don't. Don't let the world and people rob you of the peace God's given you. Don't get so worked up that we're red-faced and throwing our beer at the TV. Because we are mad. Let's just say, Lord, you've overcome this world. The Bible says we're in the world, right? But not of the world. In other words, we live here, but we're not part of this earthly, worldly kingdom. We are part of God's kingdom. We're serving God in an earthen vessel right now, in an earthly world, but we're still serving God. And so, yeah, there's tribulation, but don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. I've overcome all that. In other words, the tribulation is not going to destroy you. The tribulation is not going to pull you under because I've already pulled you over through the cross. That's what I've done. That's who I am. I'm King of Kings and I'm Lord of Lords. Let there be no other gods before me. No graven image set up. And that's what I'm saying. We put too much faith in people and mankind of solving our problems instead of letting God fix our problems. Instead of letting God come in and say, I'm going to take care of you. Next verse. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace that comes from God rule in your hearts. How do I get this peace you're talking about, you're asking? I mean, the verses are good and it's what God says, but man, how can I get this peace? It goes back to the song Margie sung a while ago. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. The more we seek God, the more we find God. The more we know about God, the more we start loving God. And when we seek his face, and we seek what he has to say, and we seek what he has done for us, and we seek what he wants to do for us, all of a sudden, the peace that we didn't have before, we begin to, yeah, God, you're right. You do have this. And Lord, thanks for speaking that to my life. Thanks for speaking that. I heard your voice. God, I needed that, and thank you. But when we surround ourselves in the world and push God out of it, how do we expect to hear from God and have any peace? We can't. Peace comes from God, and let that peace rule in your hearts. Let His peace be your governor, be your guide throughout everything you do. Life happens. We know that. One more verse. This is Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. The word careful means anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And when you do that, look what's going to happen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and keep your minds. The problem with a lot of people, and if you saw any of the interviews on the streets or people talking, man, some of them just cuckoo. I mean, they're just crazy. They're out there. And it's because their minds are not kept by the Word of God. They've let other things come in their minds, come in their spirits. I often say this. People say, you know, what is sin? Is it really sin to do this or do that? What is sin? I go back to personal conviction. Church, when God is stirring your heart with personal conviction of anything, whatever that is, if God is stirring you inside for something, listen to that. There's a reason He's stirring you. You can be all rebellious all you want. Put them walls up. Ain't nothing wrong with what I'm doing. I don't want to hear what God has to say. It's like a rebellious teenager to their parent. I don't want to hear it. I know it all. I don't want to hear it. Us adults do that to God. I don't want to hear it, God. I know what I'm doing. How many of us have heard this? I've got it under control. Or said that. No, you don't. You basket case. You fruity. I'm doing that with great pastor love for you. You don't have it together. You don't. So what do? We surrender to the peace of God. And we say, God, take this. I give it to you with supplication, which means I'm praying unto you. I'm making known what I need. And as I give it, really give it to you, God, I'm going to have peace. We have let the voice of the enemy be the voice that we hear, when the voice of God is already thundered and already spoken. Peace that we need does not come out of a bottle. It does not come out of a joint. It does not come out of a pill. It does not come out of a relationship. Not the joy I'm talking about, the peace I'm talking about. It comes out of the Lord. Period. We can go all these other routes trying to figure out, man, where can I find what I need? I need some relief. I need some stress relief. I need this. I need this. I need this. We need Jesus. Church, we need. And what I mean by that, you may say, I got Jesus. Pastor, understand, He wants all of us, not part of us, and not part-time. He wants all of us, all the time. Are we leaning on Jesus fully, or are we leaning on Jesus as an extra crutch? Is He a plan B? Is He a second step? Or is He the full enchilada? Is He everything? Is He all that we need? May I even understand what that means? Ashley had a friend over at the house this weekend, spent the night, and we're in a car, and I'm picking him up from the movies, and Ashley brought up something about, she's reading something, it's about March something, says, that's the day I got saved. And her friend said, saved? Totally clueless what that meant. Now, this friend has been raised Catholic her whole life. And she's a New York Catholic, Don. George Ann, a New York Catholic. And but she said, saved. And I heard her. They were in the back seat, and I was driving. And I told her, I said, darling, that means that's the day Ashley gave her heart to Jesus. Oh. You know, we take things for granted. And even in this church this morning, maybe some of you don't know when you hear the word saved what that really means. That's some kind of conservative, southern, only North Carolina, Holy Ghost kind of Kentucky hillbilly kind of term. We use that term, saved. The Bible uses saved. What does Acts 4:12 say, right? All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I found it disheartening when I heard this little 14-year-old girl, I don't even know what that meant. Saved. Yeah. It's the day she gave her heart to Jesus. Oh. People aren't taught that like they used to be. that we give our hearts to Jesus, that we give our lives to Jesus, that we give our thoughts to Jesus, that we give our whole total being to Jesus. Doesn't mean we're going to walk like Jesus, that's for sure. There ain't no way I want y'all to follow me around. That's why I don't tweet. Are you kidding me? You imagine in my home, what Mellon asked me tweeting about me? Ooh, you can see him now. Firestorm in the living room. I don't want that. People following me. Need to follow Christ. Follow Jesus. And we're not perfect by doing that, but what it does mean, it means that now we have help in our lives. That when we're weak, He becomes strong. When we're low, He picks us high. When we're lost, He finds us. When we don't know what to do, He tells us. When there's silence, He speaks to us. When we're sick, He heals us. That's what that means. I give Jesus my life. I place my faith in Him so I can have that peace. Because I want to know when my time comes where I'm going to be. I don't want to live my whole life worried, am I going to make it to the throne of God? Or am I going to be a castaway? Our sins, church, maybe that's not the right word. I guess it is the right word. Our sins or our failures, our mistakes, do not automatically discount us of belonging to God, like some people teach. Because all of us have things we do. I get so frustrated with that. I mean, man, you know, we judge the Baptist that they drink, judge the Methodist they smoke, judge the Catholic that they cuss. It goes all around. But you know what? We got our own issues. We got our own weaknesses. We got our own failures. We got our own problems. And carrying a brown bag out of a 7-Eleven don't mean they're going to hell. And lighting up a camel don't mean they lost. And letting an ugly word an ugly word slip doesn't mean you're hell doomed. It means that we're human. It means there's things in our lives that we probably need to work on, or maybe God needs to take away from our lives that are causing us harm. And say, God, take my life, all of my life, all of my thoughts, all of my habits, and Lord, I need your help directing my steps. And our worst enemy, as we know, is what James talks about, our tongue, right? I love what James says, our tongue's a fire of iniquity. Read James 4. For those of you this morning that are the Virgil Shorts, God rest his soul, the Virgil Shorts that are in the room today, and you're sitting there saying, well, this message ain't really touched me. Read James 4. Then come back and talk to me. Read James 4 about that tongue and all the poison it spews. Oh, whew. Boy, we love that gossip, don't we? We love spreading that. Boy, it's just amazing how, yeah, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't cuss and I've never committed adultery, and just like the little rich ruler said, I don't do all these things. You know, I don't pull for Duke and I don't pull for the Patriot. I'm a good guy, and you know what? I'm holy and I'm perfect and I'm right and I'm all of these things. Let's examine how good we are. Let's examine what we say. Let's examine how we treat people. Do we forgive each other of their trespasses as God's forgiven us? Or do we hold on to so much anger and bitterness that we despise even hearing their name mentioned? If that's the issue, that's something you need to let the Lord take care of. All of us have our issues, but we can have this peace, church, now. We don't have to wait till we go to heaven to get it. We can have peace of God now. Lord, well, I'll say that for a minute. I felt led to say, Marty, come on up here. We're going to do a declaration together as a church this morning about peace. Because all of us are facing things we need peace for. It might be a physical condition, a family issue, maybe an emotional struggle you're going through, whatever you're battling. All of us have something that is robbing us of some of our peace. And God wants you to have peace. The Bible says to cast all your care upon Him, 1 Peter. Cast it all. You know why? He cares for you. Sounds so simple. just give it to God. It sounds so simple, but we don't really give it to Him. We say we do, but then we still hang on to it. Y'all stand on your feet with me this morning. Go ahead and sing a little chorus for a minute. If you got a little chorus, or you go sing.
Lord, I believe.
Right now, I know all of you are going through something, and you need peace in your life. You need peace in your thoughts. You're just tired of going through life and not having the peace and joy that God desires for you to have. We've allowed the devil to steal it from us. We've allowed him to come in and disrupt our walk with God. We've allowed him to get our eyes set on something other than the Lord. When that happens, we let all that junk into our world, all that junk into our hearts and our minds, and it turns us away from the one that wants us to turn to Him. So I want to pray this over the church, and I want you, whatever need you have, whatever you need peace over, you know what it is. Lord, I want to declare this morning as we stand here together as a body of Christ that you pour your spirit of peace upon the brokenhearted, upon those that need an uplifting, upon those that are discouraged, upon those that are depressed, upon those that are confused, upon those that are lost, upon those that are bound, upon those that have no direction, upon those who have lost their way. God, let peace flood this sanctuary. Let your peace from above that only you can give. The world can't give it. Money can't buy it. Jobs can't secure it. Houses and lands don't make a difference in it. It is you, Lord, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor that came to give us that peace. Lord, pour your oil of peace upon our heads and let it flow through our bodies, through our minds, through our souls, through our spirits, that we walk out of here encouraged and uplifted out of the ashes of defeat into the victorious rim of victory in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift your name on high and we give it to you right now, Lord. We trust you, not man, not situations and not circumstances. We don't trust the doctor report as much as we trust you. We don't trust what the psychologist says as much as you. We don't trust what the world says as much as you. God, deliver your people today and give them the peace that you died to give them. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and glory and honor for it all. And the church said, amen. Sing something else, Margie. Let's worship just for a minute.
Troubles fading.
our Prince of Peace, no matter what we see, Lord. Thank you.
Troubles vanish.
Our hearts are fixed.
Our
of the King, church, the King.
Hallelujah.
Y'all be seated for a minute. Ushers, come on up, receive our morning tithes and offerings today. I hope the message has blessed you this morning and encouraged you. Have peace no matter what's around us. Peace starts within us. I opened the blinds up for you guys so you can see the building from in here. After service, you want to look through there. You can come over this window and see the whole side. And the kitchen, you can see the other side. So you can go outside, but you can kind of see what's happening on the outside. It's looking very nice, but of course, for 2 weeks, they've not done hardly anything because it's been too wet and muddy and rainy. But take a look at it before you leave. It's coming together. We're really, really proud of what God is doing here. Lord, we thank you for this word that you've given us today of peace. With all the unrest and all the turmoil, we realize what it really is. Lord, people are just mad because they don't have any peace. When they, Lord, really put you first, and when they sing or recite that Pledge of Allegiance, and they really mean what they say, under God, indivisible, their minds will change. We are under you first, Lord, under you first. And we are thankful that you are leading us. Everything happens by your hand. Everything has been ordained. Every political leader is ordained by your hand, no matter who that leader is. And we trust that, God. Bless this offering. Bless the seed that is given to sow into your kingdom. And the hands that give it, Lord, let them see the reward of their faithfulness to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.